With Nina Slako, you run a conceptual art center in Bukovje. Maybe you could present your project for the audience of Radio Student.
Yes, we are both artists, and CAC Bukovje sort of happened due to circumstances. Basically, the fact that we had to move to Slovenia, and we moved in with Nina's parents in a big house on the countryside, from having lived in Gothenburg in Sweden, which is and we lived centrally. We had direct contact with the art world there, and so when suddenly we were on the countryside, displaced, sort of, so to speak. So we decided to do a Mohammed variety, so the mountain, try to get the mountain to come to Bukovje instead, so to speak. Like, if we don't have any art around us, we thought we'd try to bring it, and that's sort of how we started. The art center first at a very small scale, and started growing in all directions, and suddenly we were doing shows with international artists.
So you tried to run this center as less money possible. Your statement is that by bypassing a market, by bypassing a money exchange, you create a system, art system, that is independent from capitalism. Isn't it a bit idealistic or even utopical?
Yes, absolutely. And it's of course not a maybe bulletproof statement in any sense. It's just, what is interesting is what happens when you work with totally without money. It is actually so that you can often go around the system in a sense that, for example, we would not, had we have a small institution with a small budget, we wouldn't be able to work with some of the artists that we were working with, because normally they ask for quite big fees. But when we present our center, which is like zero budget on the Slovene countryside, we are two artists, then it can basically happen that artists want to work with us just because it is not part of the system, and they are willing to work for free. And in that way, we are able to exhibit names that we are not supposed to be able to, according to the sort of established system, where when you come to a gallery market, it's even so that not anybody is always allowed to buy a certain painting, because the painting should end up in the right collections. And in the same sense, not anybody should be able to exhibit Jonathan Mese, for example. But by not being outside the system, we somehow can then infiltrate it, in a sense.
In your text, I read some of your publications, and you often speak about pure art, quality art. You say that you can dedicate yourself once you leave the money behind. You can choose subjectively a pure and good quality art. But what is, in your opinion, good quality and or pure art?
There is. It is, of course, as you say, it's a totally subjective issue, and objectively, I can't put up a line, a number of criterias to define it. It's, I think, from a philosophical perspective, it is just so that there is art is not a. There's no essential qualities of art. The art is not essential in that sense, so that there is one can define a piece of work being good due to this, filling these and these criteria. But as an artist, when you work with your own art, you have to make selections, you have to make decisions. When is a painting finished? When is a sculpture just right? And therefore, I think all artists intuitively work with some kind of quality criteria, because you have to make, you can't not make these decisions. And therefore, I also think that it's those, it's intuitive criteria, not any, that can be made into facts and statistics in any sense.
You said once that what bothers you in the today's art system is that curators first think of the concept for the exhibition, and they choose artists or artworks in relation to this decision. You suggest that it would be inverse, so first to decide which artworks are good and then make a concept as a whole. So, but there is possibly one problem. Who guarantees you that artists don't think the same as well, that they first think about what should be exposed and then they start to make a work of arts?
What I'm actually saying in the text that you're referring to is that I think it's important for a how I think a good curatorial praxis should be is to see a lot of art and out of that see the trends and see what is interesting right now, what is topics that are being brought up right now, and out of that come up with your curatorial ideas rather than to come up with a curatorial idea and then try to find pieces that fit and prove it. It's not necessarily so that I'm saying that the curator should find the good pieces. That's not how I put it in the text. It was rather that, that by seeing a lot of art, I think that's where good curatorial ideas can come from, not to come up with an idea and then try to find art that will prove your idea.
Okay, yeah, I understood. So first, with the big, let's say, visual vocabulary of good or bad art, you then decide what is good to be exhibited. Nevertheless, you also mentioned once that when John Baldessari, a famous world artist who is ranked on 12th place in the world ranking of artists, however strange it sounds, that by so when John Baldessari agreed that you can show his work, he put up a value of the other artists that are less famous. But this is this is the classical example of the Bourdieu subjective capital, and it's completely built in the capitalist system itself. So you see, this is the problem. Even when you don't have when you don't deal with the money, the values of this bourgeois capital system come anyway on the clean air. So you cannot. It's difficult to put them away.
Yeah, absolutely. What we can do is that we can, with our minimal resources, we can buy. Using this already existing system to our benefit, we can then help out artists that we want to help out in a way that we are not supposed to be able to, since we don't have the capital. But sure, it's absolutely to use the system in that sense.
Nevertheless, once, if I'm not wrong, you accepted the sponsorship from Nike, and you said you excuse yourself in advance by putting away your concept without money. How you comment this fact?
We never did, and it was only up to discussion. It was an artist who proposed to make a catalog for an exhibition, and he had contacts within this company and thought that the company could fund the catalog. But in the end, we did a low production that we financed ourselves. But we just mentioned it in the text as it is. So of course, to be when you're poor and struggling, then of course you can be tempted, and that's why we mention this as a dilemma that one can come in front of as a poor struggling artist or struggling institution.
So you work with your wife Nina Slejko, and how do you function in when you have to make decision, when you have to decide the strategies, and so on? How is every day functioning in this art center?
Fortunately, very smooth, and we have to, as we see it, this art center. It is also. Since we are artists, it automatically also functions as an art project for ourselves somehow. We see it like both as an art center, but it's also a social sculpture. And fortunately, we seem to have be agreeing so far on basically everything we're doing. So it's very friction-free. Otherwise, I feel it can be dangerous to collaborate creatively with your spouse, maybe, because it's... It can easily cause conflict, but we have been fortunate as of yet. And it's certain things she's better at, and then that she manages, and certain things I'm better at, and then that I manage.
Do you think that there is some special art character, so that you are born with a special art feeling or sensitivity, or... you think that it's something completely different and learned, and that comes from experience?
I would think it's learned and come from experiences. I know for myself that I did want to become an artist since I was a little boy, but I'm sure where I am now is due to first having gone through art history studies at the university, and then I was working as an art critic and onwards. And I'm sure everything from taste to is formed and developed through these studies, and also somehow, of course, unified with the art system to a certain extent.
Yeah, I'm asking you this question because I want somehow to come to the one former question about pure art, because when you make your education, you know, and you learn how to do your art during this educational period, but this educational period is itself completely under capitalist, under strong influence of capitalist pedagogy and ideology. So don't you think even that your subjective idea of pure art it could be somehow deformed by the system, and that you even that you are not aware of it?
Absolutely. I don't think anybody is able to be pure, and I think in any kind of branch, to have a wide knowledge of your field is important. And of course, this knowledge will affect you. I mean, we all wish that our brain surgeons know a lot about brain surgery, not only their own brain attempts, but they also have studied others' brain surgery before. And of course, in the same sense as a theater director is probably better if he has seen a lot of other theater performance and know a lot about theater. And yes, the educational system might be capitalist structures that affect us in this, but there's all kinds of structures that affect us, and we cannot be without it either. The idea of the pure, I think, is impossible in that sense.